We are up to Os Chavav, the 26th entry here in the Rebbe's diary. And this is a very lengthy entry. And it's also so, so intense. Super intense. Deeply emotional. It's a lot. I don't know if we're going to get to the whole thing today. Let's start unpacking it with the first line. The Rebbe says, Tamea ani. I wonder, lama ze, why is this? Ein marishin kol kach. People are not, laharish means to storm. People are not storming. Bishah at the time, shaholchim l'shalosh se'udos, when they go to shaloshudis, kemo shemarishim bishah shaholchim, like they storm, like they are moved when they walk, L'kol Nidre, to Kol Nidre. Why are people not experiencing Shalashudis like they experience Kol Nidre? So that's a great question. Why do you think it is that people do not experience Shalashudis at Kol Nidre? So let's explain Shalashudis so we can understand why that's so important. And then we can talk about his experience of Shalashudis, which is incredible. What he's going to describe here is, it's like mind-boggling. It's amazing. So Shalashudis is the third meal of Shabbos, which is eaten in the afternoon. Actually, preferably according to the halacha, it's eaten after we daven mincha, before the evening, before the close of Shabbos. This time, according to the mystical tradition, according to the Mekubalim, is referred to as Rava de Ravin, Resh Ayin Vav, Rava, which in Hebrew, that's Aramaic, for Ratzon Shel Ratzon. What does the word Ratzon mean? Anybody know what the word Ratzon means? It means to want. So Shalashudis somehow is the pinnacle of wanting, the apex of wanting. What does that mean? It is the Rava de Ravin, the Ratzon of the Ratzon. So here's how we can understand this, perhaps. The entire week, the Sheisha Simei HaMaaseh, starting on Sunday, are the days of action. These are the times that Hashem created the world, in which we create the world every week. You get into the power, the koach of asiya, of doing, of creating, of making. That's the 6 days of the week. So imagine if you were going to knit a sweater, or if you were going to build a Lego dinosaur, or cook a brisket. So there would be a series of steps that you would take to create that food item or that Lego set, right? You would do certain things. But something had to come before you built the Lego set. Something had to come before you made that brisket. And that was a choice, a desire, a want. First, you had to decide, I would like brisket. After you decided you want that, then you can go about making it. But first you had to decide. First, it had to go in your rut zone. Anytime we move any parts of ourselves, right, there is this neurological process that happens, that first our brain says, we want this, and then it sends neurons, signals to our muscles to say, move that. Before, and sometimes we're not even conscious of it, but before I moved my fingers right now, there was some little part of my brain that said, I think it's good to move your fingers right now. So let's do that. That is called Ratzon. That is the expression of the will. So now, if Hashem creates the world beginning on Sunday, starting on Yom Rishon, what came before the creation of the world? This very, very deep idea, which it's difficult for us to understand what it exactly means, but it means that Hashem had a ratzon. He had some decision, choice, desire to create the world. So when did that happen? That happened right before the beginning of creation. Right before Sunday, which is Shalosh Shuris. The last moments of Shabbos, right? The NCSY ebbing happens at the end of Shabbos for a reason. Because they're tapping into, or I think in Bnei Akiva they call it Slow Shira, whatever you're going to call it. The end of Shabbos has this magical quality. And it's not just because you're sad that you're leaving Shabbos. That's also true. You want to hang on to the last few moments. But it's because there is a spiritual pixie dust that's existing, because this is the time that every week Hashem says, I want you. I'm going to create you again. We're going to have another week. Let's do this again. It is the Rava de Ravin, the Ratzon of the Ratzon. It's that momentary wish, that first neuron that says, we should, and then we do. So the Rebbe says, is there a more powerful time than that in the world? Is there a more powerful time than the moment when Hashem says to us every week, I choose you? He says, I can't believe people aren't tapped into that. We're tapped into it when we go to Kol Nidre, because we understand that. We are accustomed to that. But the Rebbe says, I can't understand. I can't really understand why people aren't tapped into it for Shalosh Shuris. That's his introduction. So now he's going to explain what is his experience of Shalosh Shuris. What does it feel like? And this goes to a comment of the Rabbah, of Rav Moshe Isserles, the great commentary on the Shulchan Aruch from the 17th century in Krakow. The Hilge Rabbah has a principle that we are familiar with, but maybe we don't connect to it as deeply as the Rebbe did. Because the Pia Satzner's description here is incredible. It's incredible. The Ramah tells us, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I should have that reality, that consciousness of Hashem before me all the time. I should always be conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when, obviously, I'm doing my davening, my learning, my chesed, my avoda. I should also be conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general. When I'm not doing that, I should live a godly existence with that awareness. But the Rebbe is describing a clear and present relationship. When a person sits at Shalosh Shuris, he says, he feels, and I'm going to paraphrase here because it's very long, he feels a torrent of different emotions. Because how would we, or should we feel, if we really, really experienced, if we thought, we sat down, that we were sitting kivyachol, sitting next to God, face to face with God. He says, Yesh Shalosh Shuris Shamamish Eini Motzi Limakom. Sometimes the Rebbe says, I'd sit at Shalosh Shuris and I feel like I don't have a place. Because until now, until Shalosh Shuris, is somewhere in my mind, I was hiding from God. I wasn't looking him in the eye. I wasn't directly engaging with him. And so when I have that, it's like we have those conversations where we're kind of beating around the bush a little bit, or we're not really, really being open and honest. So Eichshu, somehow we get through the conversation. We manage. But what happens when we sit down and we're just face to face and there's nobody else and there's no more distractions? There's nowhere to hide. There's no cell phone. There's no texting. There's no, I got to catch this call. You're just there. The Rebbe says, I'm sitting there at Shal Shudis, and Hashem is looking at me, and I look at myself, and I feel embarrassed of where I am. We're looking at each other, and I start to shrink. I start to feel pachad. I want to just hide. The Rebbe says, I want to hide with people under the table. But where am I going to go to hide from Hashem? Where am I going to run where he won't be? Wherever I hide, you're there, he says, the Ribono Shel Olam. When I get to the song, Mizmor LeDavid, some of you have ever heard, you know, the different nigunim for this, Mizmor, whatever nigun you use, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, God, I won't want, Lo Ira Ra, I will not fear evil, Ki Ata Imati, because you're with me. You're really with me. The Rebbe says, when I say those words, I feel like I can't speak anymore. I can't speak. From my place of embarrassment of how far I am from where I want to be and where Hashem is, all of a sudden now I'm going to say, oh, Ata Imadi, you're with me. I look at you, Hashem, and I feel a sense of longing and sorrow, and I feel a sense, he says, that your eyes are looking at me and burning. Sorfos this kol gufi. How real is this? How real is his description of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid? He says, I see my inadequacies, and I feel at that moment, I feel like Tolas, I feel like a silkworm that made a beautiful piece of silk, but then you realize after the wind comes, it's nothing. And I feel, and he says, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. And my feelings of inadequacy are just, they just bubble up to the surface. They're present in looking at the eyes of Hashem and him looking at me. He says, I knew this all along, but now it's Shalosh Shudis. When I feel like Hashem is so close to me, it's as if, so to speak, his closeness is kivyachol crushing me. Interesting. You know what maybe went wrong? You could argue, perhaps, with some of the incidents of the Jewish people in the desert. It's that they couldn't come to terms and find ways to deal with the presence of Hashem in their lives. Then maybe they felt that they couldn't handle it. They didn't find the right way. Because the Rebbe says, what happens then? You have to find, what's the path? He says, because of my nothingness, afisasi, my non-existence, I don't have any standing. So then what happens? Then my soul strengthens and starts screaming, Gam ki elech b'geitzal mavis lo yiro ra ki ato imadi. Even though I am, as he describes, ben tipesh, an idiot, a fool, blind and broken, but I'm calling to you, the king. And even though I'm just running around like one of the mishugayim among the other mishugayim, and I'm not really worthy of being close to the king, but I'm screaming out, avi, avi, and I don't know. He says, I don't know if Hashem is going to answer my calls to say, pick me up, inspire me, bring me back close to you. But I'm going to call to you anyway, the king. I'm going to reach out to you anyway. Gam ki elech b'geitz al maves, I'm still going to call to you. Lo ira ra ki ata imadi. It's like an emotional turbulence that the Rebbe is describing. And then he concludes, I'm sorry I didn't read the whole thing inside, but you got it in an email. He says, but you know how he concludes during this whole, this like gut-wrenching feeling of scrutiny of Hashem? He says, kol shalosh sudas v'shalosh sudas, every shalosh sudas b'matzavo in its different way, lefamim shivron lev levad, sometimes feeling brokenness, v'lefamim, but sometimes Ha-hischazkus, strengthening myself mitoch shviras halev, from a broken heart. Avol, however, kishehinani magia le'en kelokenu, the Rebbe says he sings en kelokenu at Shalosh Shodis, tomid nafshi mischazekes usmecha, my soul is always strong and happy. Because now I'm not talking about myself and my brokenness and my issues. I'm talking about Hashem. Ein kelokeinu, there's nobody like you. There's nobody like Hashem. Mi kelokeinu, mi kadunenu. The Rebbe talked about this once earlier in the diary, about the difference between different kinds of davenings. One is where we're davening for ourselves and asking for certain things, and that's important and very good. But then there's the davening of just connecting to Hashem, where it's not focused on us, but it's connected to Him. And says the Rebbe, mi shivro lev, from my broken heart, I yell out, I jump with joy, and I tell everyone, I announce to the world, from the heavens to the human beings, to the animals, even to the specks of dust under my feet. Listen, I have to tell you something. Ein kelokeinu, ein kadunenu. There's no one else like the Ribono Shel Olam. That's our God, and that brings me so much joy. From that, the Rebbe says, I have so much joy and strength that my soul is on fire. And what happens when they bring the Neros for Havdalah? The Rebbe says, I find myself motzi anias atzmi le'ish acher. I see myself as a new person, as a different individual. All of this, this whole spiritual cleansing, this cycle, imagine being put in a spiritual washing machine. So first is the tumbling, and then there's the scrubbing, and then there's the cleaning, and then there's the spinning. Hakol haya nachutz v'tov. Everything was needed and good. Gam shivron halev shemitchila, also the brokenheartedness at the beginning. Gam asimcha she'acharei, also the happiness afterwards. Tahara achas, one purity, ukavisa achas haisa, and it was one laundering. V'lama ze'in marishin kol kach b'shal, b'shal holchem l'shal shudus k'mosh b'shal sh'holchem l'kol nidrei. How does he end the diary? Entry the same way that he started it. Why don't we go to Shalosh Shodis the same way we go to Kol Nidrei? Well, Rebbe, the answer is because we're not on your level. Because when we go to Shalosh Shodis, we don't feel that the Ribono Shel Olam is looking at us. And we don't feel that sense of withering scrutiny. It's also a good thing we don't feel that level of self-negation, of Bitul Hayesh. On the other hand, we don't feel that joy to announce and to proclaim and to jump, as he says, Ein Kelokeinu. What an amazing description of an intimate, inner, spiritual experience. And whether or not we can grasp that fully on our level, it gives us a window and maybe some language and a model, a path, to start thinking for ourselves, when am I ever sitting with Hashem? When am I sitting with Him, just the two of us? Am I sitting with Him when I make Kiddush? When I daven Shmona Esrei? You know, for the Rebbe, it was Shalosh Shodis, but for each of us, when can we find those times? When can we create those moments that we're having this intimate spiritual experience, which comes with a storm of emotions? It's interesting how Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, describes spiritual experiences from a Soloveitchik standpoint in very similar ways. With the torrent of emotions, how the idea of somebody who's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels this deep, partly a deep, almost traumatic upheaval, and this most sublime joy and fulfillment and meaning. We got to get passionate about this. We got to be emotionally connected. If we're just going through the motions and it's totally dispassionate, if we're not really, really plugged in on a deep emotional level, we'll never even get on this path. Even if we never get to the level where the Rebbe is, which halavai, maybe we'll get there, the goal of being on that path, of being self-aware, of taking our spiritual, emotional temperature of what it means to be sitting in front of Hashem. Right? What does that existence look like for me as an individual? And maybe it's overwhelming and scary, and that's also okay. And maybe it's also joyous. Like, where do I fit in? Am I having these conversations? When the Rama says in the beginning of Orach Chaim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit, Hashem is always in front of me. Is that a detached, just technical awareness? Or is it a deep, emotional, roller coaster type of experience? That's a question. And to whatever extent that is, how do we nurture it? And how do we move it forward?